It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We are live from WFGR in downtown Grand Rapids. You listen to us on 98.7 or any other station you might be listening with around the state and the country. But we're glad you're here. This is the Grillin' Guys. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. Yeah, we're back. We're back on the air. We're with 98.7 in Grand Rapids, which is a great 80s, 90s, and now station right up my alley, Jop.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of things are up your alley, and we're going to talk about a few of those this week.
Hey, don't start off like
but,
that.
But, hey, I just want to say a shout-out to several of our fans that are family members or personal friends shot me notes over the last week and said, hey, you know, glad to hear you guys are back. Missed you guys. And you know what? That made me feel good. And I just wanted to say shout-out to everybody and say thank you because, you know what, this four-month hiatus we took is wasn't by choice. We did it because we thought it was the right thing to do, but it's just, again, really good to be back.
That's funny because there's a fellow that works in a local gas station at Meyer and Lowell, and I was chatting with him. His dad loves listening to the show. He listens sometimes. And this lady next to me says, the Grillin' Guys, you're back on the air? I said, yeah. She goes, we listen to you up north all the time. I said, oh, it must be 98.5 UPS.
Right.
She said, yep.
Speaking of up north, went up to a golf outing last Sunday. And up in Big Rapids, kind of home for you and I.
Catkey?
Yep. Well, right. We know we played down at what's now called Hawkshead, right? Yeah. South end of town. Yep. We used to bartend, as a matter of fact, but it's called Hawkshead now.
No, that's where I met my bride.
Oh, okay. Well, that too. But anyway, went there, and I rode up with a buddy and his two brothers who I'd never met were playing with us. And we got out on the first tee, and he's kind of introducing us a little more than just, hey, in the car. And the guy stopped. He heard my voice. He goes, why do I know your voice? I said,
I
really don't know, man. And so Stan said, well, he's one of the Grillin' Guys. And he, you know, same thing. Said, hey, wow, I've listened to you guys forever. So it's just kind of cool to get back into it and have a little bit of fun with it. But
Our audience around the state, it's funny because we think of ourselves as Grand Rapids, but it's amazing how many stations – play it regularly because we're not that good. it's just fun when somebody recognizes your voice and wants to chat about grilling.
Well, enough bragging.
Next thing you know is you're talking about how to trim a brisket or how to get your butt just right.
Right. And speaking of which, we've missed most of the summer. Here we are coming back in August, and I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that I've been doing because that's you have a lot of time on your hands.
Absolutely.
Right?
And our show today is going to be all about the Northern experience, food and beer. And we're going to get into just some things you might do up north, whether you're camping or fishing or whatever, and maybe some beers you can find.
Right, exactly. We're going to do all of that.
Yeah.
So what'd you grill this week? Anything good?
Boy, boring stuff this week. I'm still limping along with just charcoal, so it's a little bit of a it retards you a little bit because you got to count on an extra half hour to get some charcoal rolling. But
right.
For my wife's birthday Sunday, I did Charlie Jabor's famous shish kebab recipe, and I did something a little unique. Went to Sobey, picked up some steaks, and they had some beautiful New York strips on sale. They were just select.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a bunch of people coming over, so
sure.
I wanted
so that's
to be
what
careful.
You selected.
I did, and they were beautiful anyway because it's Sobeys.
Right.
And then I picked up a tri-tip, and let me tell you how nice tri-tip works out on a shish kebab.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my gosh. Well, for one thing, there's no trimming. You just cut it into your chunks.
Right.
And I pulled the first piece off. I even live streamed it. It's on the Grillin' Guys Facebook page. They haven't banned us yet.
I couldn't get the volume to work on that thing. All I saw was your lips moving, and I could see the smoke flowing.
That's
but I
a nightmare,
any,
isn't it?
I couldn't get any volume, yeah.
Is it perfect?
Right. I was like, oh, no.
Anyway, the point is tri-tip is a wonderful meat, and I have never tried it before for shish kebab.
Right.
So word to the wise, it's a good bargain. I think I paid $8.99 a pound.
Right.
Oof, what a
couple
nice
things about shish kebabs. Dip your stick. right? Soak it in water if you're not using metal because they'll catch on fire, right? The wood ones will catch on fire. The second one is, and probably the biggest tip of anything that we could tell you about shish kebabs is cut your meat cubes almost the same size, as close as you can. Because if you got big pieces and little pieces, the little pieces are going to get overdone before the big ones get done. And then those people that get those aren't going to enjoy it nearly as much.
Yeah, Maggie and Christian came over and brought little Genevieve, our grandchild number three. And Maggie said, can you do a couple pieces well done for Genevieve? And I said, sure.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you know it, the New York strip was on the end of about every skewer.
Right.
So that little chubber got some beautiful New York strip.
Right. And yeah, she probably, when she gets older and can make her own choices, will eat it medium rare like the rest of us.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
22 pounds at 8 months. This kid is growing.
Wow.
Yeah. Because our four-year-olds are only 30 pounds.
Wow.
So do that math. You're good with math.
Right. Yeah. Good stuff.
So what did you grill?
Well, I've done a lot of this messing around with this sous vide thing because I'm trying to do, it's almost like a reverse sear. Okay, that's where
you're cooking
in a bag in a water bath. And I did a couple T-bone steaks in it, and they were actually pretty good. Took them up to about 128, let them just sit there for a couple hours because you're not going to overcook them. I just wanted to get them to that temperature all the way through. Took them out, and they were already seasoned in the bag. I did that. Just took them out, hit them on a red-hot grill, as hot as I could get it, just put some color on either sides of them, and then served them up, and they're just, you know, just that the color's just on the outside layer, and the rest of it is just a perfect medium rare.
So
man, it was good.
It?
I was really happy with it, and I was surprised, quite frankly, because when you take them out of the bag, they're a little gray.
Well, Chef Schultz would be proud of you.
Yeah, right. But it's a cool thing. It's a really cool thing. And the little machine, you got one. I bought you one. So
you
ought to try it sometime. It's just something different. And you can go away. You can go do other things. And whether you leave that in there a couple hours or 4 hours, it's not going to hurt the steak any because it's only coming to the temperature that the water's moving around it. So
I think
kind of
you might want to be careful.
It'll break down after a while.
Well,
but
I'm just thinking the danger zone, you can't necessarily leave it in there as long as you want, depending on the meat.
Right.
Because you will be hovering in the danger zone if you're trying to do it your way, especially if it's pork and you're going to sear it. You're going to want to get it at least above 145 if you're going
to
leave it there.
Yep. It all depends what you put in the bag.
Yeah. So right after the show, Maureen and I headed to the UP.
That was last week, right?
In the next segment, we're going to play an interview from a guy named Chris Sarver. He owns a place I've come to really love and been there a few times now. It's called Superior Brewing and the Dune Saloon. But it's right in Grand Marais. And I drove like a banshee to get there just to have that beautiful whitefish meal they have. And we'll hear an interview from Chris Sarver here coming up. But we also spent three nights in various campgrounds on Lake Superior and Lake Michigan in this trip. And then we did a couple nights at my brother-in-law's cabin on Island Lake south of Munising.
Mm-hmm.
Caught some nice crappie and it's the UP and the weather was perfect. We couldn't have asked for better weather. We just got so lucky. But, yeah.
Sounds like a good time. What'd you eat, man? Did you cook on an open fire or did you just?
We did. We did sausages one night. We did explored a new pasty place and had breakfast pasties one morning. That was phenomenal.
Ketchup or gravy?
Oh, yeah, right. don't ask for gravy in the UP if you want to walk out. Campfire food. Can't think of our last night, what we did. I guess we did chicken.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. That's too easy.
Yeah, right. It is. That's the other thing I've been doing with that sous vide is skinless, boneless chicken breast. You can cook them up in there, get them to 145, 150 degrees with the seasoning on them, and let them cool and throw them in the freezer. When you pull them out, it's cooked chicken,
mm-hmm.
ready to eat. And but
what'd you bring them up to?
About 145, 150.
Chicken?
Yeah. Yep. It was good. It was plenty good.
165.
Well, I want to hit them with a little bit.
So you're going to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. All I want to hit them with a little color at the end, but yeah. Or
yeah,
you can do that in a skillet.
Color.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Don't miss a trip past the restroom, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe in the next segment we can hear this interview I did with Chris Sarver.
Okay. All right. So coming up next, it's going to be a little bit about Lake Superior and a little brew at the Dune. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fen Valley Vineyards.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
I am a guy, and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We're live from downtown Grand Rapids. We got a new home over here at WFGR 98.7. Appreciate you tuning in. Barbecue Bob and I are still at the microphone and having a little bit of fun. Later in this segment, we're going to talk to a guy that he met up at Lake Superior Brewing Company up in Grand Marais. That's going to be kind of a cool little interview. But before we get started on that, I played with a little bit of fish during this COVID time off myself. And, you know, salmon is not one of your favorites, I know, and it's not my favorite on the grill either. But
if I do it right, I like
yeah.
it. If I'm controlling it, or if somebody really good is doing it, I like it.
Yeah. So what I did is I tried to do it on a skewer. I like skewers in the summer. They're easy. You can get, they're colorful. You got all the fresh vegetables. But the marinade is what I really want to talk about because it was pretty simple, but it was really, really tasty. I've got equal parts of maple syrup and Dijon mustard. And I use the grainy kind because I like the mustard seed, just the texture of it.
Yep.
And then I add a tablespoon of rosemary and the same amount, a tablespoon of lemon juice, and then a tablespoon of soy sauce. That was my marinade.
Sounds good.
Yep. And so you got maple syrup, Dijon, spices, and then some soy sauce. Just put the salmon in there. I cut it up in little like 2-inch chunks, right?
Yep.
As thick as it was.
Yep.
It was that square. Let it set in there for maybe just an hour. Okay. Is all, because fish is pretty delicate. It doesn't need a lot of marinade, but I wanted to get that flavor on there. And then I just put it on a hot grill. You know, put those on a skewer, put my onion and my pepper, and I even use a little zucchini on that. It was kind of pretty, you know, if you use the colored peppers. And you just grill that thing, you know, maybe just 5 minutes until that salmon turns opaque,
right,
and it's ready to go. And, man, they were tasty. Just that simple little marinade. And it was real. It tasted like summer. You know, it was just really good with the mustard and the sweet and the, you know, it's kind of cool.
And so, I think if you leave them on too long, they're going to fall off the skewer.
Right, exactly. You know what? And like shrimp, if you turn them too often, they will break apart. You can double skewer if you want to, and that holds them together a little bit. But I did them single and just rolled them one time. With that hot grill like that, you leave the cover down. It kind of cooks them all the way through anyway. So.
And how'd Lisa like it?
She loved it. She loved it. And she said, would you do it again sometime? I said, sure, you know, so we're going to get her going. But,
nice.
But speaking of fish, you met a guy up north, and you were talking about his whitefish, too.
Yeah, went to Grand Marais, which we went to a couple years ago. I was thinking it was last year, but it was the year before, actually. My wife corrected me. Imagine that. And I've driven across the UP my entire life, and my dad was hell-bent on getting over to Iron country, copper country, and that's where our family farm is, and Lake Ogebic, and that's just where we always went. And with a carload of kids, you didn't stop at a lot of tourist attractions on the way over. But I always saw the sign for Grand Marais, and for some crazy reason, had never ventured up there. It's 25 miles off of M28, and it's the best 25 miles you could drive. And the best part is when we're pulling into town, a great big black bear ran across the road right in front of me.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, it was a monster, and he was hauling. He's experienced crossing M77 or M88, whatever that is, enough that he knows to move. And that was so cool because I said, bear, and my wife looks up. She goes, where? It's like right there. It's right. I could have hit it if I wouldn't have hit the brakes.
Yeah, well, you don't want to do that.
No, for a lot of reasons.
Right.
But I think we should take a listen. I recorded this on my iPhone, so I apologize if the audio is not as good as it could have been. We were trying to socially distance for some reason. And so he was a little far away from the microphone. Listen in. This is Chris Sarver, the owner of Superior Brewing and the Dune Saloon. He also owns a vineyard and makes wine out in Oregon. So the guy knows his stuff. He spends his summers here. And he winters in Oregon. That's not a bad life.
No, good gig if you can get it, man.
Yeah, let's listen in.
Hey, this is Barbecue Bob. We are up in one of the most beautiful cities in the world. It's called Grand Marais, and we're fixing to have some whitefish that, well, let's just say I sped all the way here from Lowell, Michigan, so that I could get some of this whitefish. And we're talking to the owner, Chris Sarver. And I called him in advance to let him know we were coming up, and I wanted to make sure he kept a couple pieces of whitefish for me. Welcome to the Grilling Guys show, Chris.
Glad to be here.
Well, my wife and I stopped here last year, and we had a couple beers, and then we ordered whitefish. And the beer was phenomenal, and the whitefish was, I mean, we were speechless. So it was our goal to make sure we came here again this year because we want to go to Munising also. Anyway, you brew your own beer.
We brew usually a pale ale, a stout, brown, some lighter beers, a couple reds, and everything in between.
Yeah.
We did a beautiful Kolsch.
Did you?
Recently, yes. Really?
Well, the beer menu looked very similar to last year, and I tried several of them last year. Your IPA is stellar. It's just beautiful. You know,
that's a light IPA.
It's beautiful. Yeah, it's
a 5%er.
5%er?
Yeah, that's a very light, trying to get the full body, full hop, with a lighter alcohol.
So you can still drive your boat home.
Yeah, you can drink a few of them with a boat.
Yeah, well, that's a great idea. Now, in this stinking China lockdown we're in, you're serving everything outside.
Yeah, we're working it with the coronavirus as best we can.
Yeah.
We went outside where the weather's nice.
Right.
We'll probably put a few tables inside when it gets bad and do takeout, but we're giving it our best safety that we can muster.
So if people are coming up from the Mackinac Bridge, what would you recommend the best way to get here?
I like to come through Curtis area.
Okay.
Although you don't see Curtis. It's 115, US 2. So you follow the shoreline on US 2, look at the lake a little, and then come up 115, catch M28. Over to Sini, and then we're 25 miles north on M77.
Yeah, this town, I don't know, what's the population of Grand Marais, do you think?
It's been 500 forever. It doesn't change. They die as fast as they come in.
Again, we're talking to Chris Sarver. Tell us, it's Superior Brewing Company, right?
It's the Dune Saloon at the Lake Superior Brewing Company.
Okay, the Dune Saloon.
It's always been the Dune Saloon.
Oh.
So we didn't want to leave that name behind.
Nice.
So we added it together.
Nice.
It was a marriage.
Well, our listeners are beer snobs, And I don't recommend breweries unless they really know what they're doing. And your brewer really knows what he's doing. We had quite a few beers last year, and we're fixing to have quite a few today. And I'm not afraid to order any one of them. So that's the best compliment I can give you, other than your whitefish is the best I've ever had. And I'm 63. I've had a lot of whitefish.
I'm with you on the whitefish and the beer.
Okay.
Highly recommended by owner.
Well, we are we're going to put some Grillin' Guys stickers on your doors, and that's a seal of approval. If you come up to the UP, you have to come to Grand Marais and go to the Dune Saloon and say hi to Chris and his staff. They're throwing down up here, and the shoreline is just drop-dead gorgeous. So thanks for joining the Grillin' Guys, Chris.
Anytime.
Bob, it sounds like you had some great beer, great whitefish, and met another great restaurateur. Kind of cool if this is a season to go up to the UP, and it's a great place to join us. But coming up next, we're going to do a little campfire cooking on the Great Lakes. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of, to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grillin' Guys sent you.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Teas, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys show.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We are live from downtown Grand Rapids and streaming into your head wherever you may be. But it's good to be back, Barbecue Bob, and get back in the chair here and start talking about some of the things that we've done this summer. You just had a great trip up there to the UP and through Grand Marais and hit the brewing company. But I've yet to take any jaunts, but we're going to be doing one to Mackinac here in a couple weeks. So
nice.
I got some family coming in from out of town. My brother's coming in from Texas, and we're going to go up there and spend a little time and do a little exploring ourselves.
But I look forward to seeing him this weekend.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But so we're going to talk a little bit about campfire cooking. You know what? That's one of your passions, I think. I don't do it so much, but I know you do.
Yeah.
So this is a season for that, too. So maybe tips, techniques, and some advice, and so on.
Yes, and also want to give a shout-out to our friends Scott and Katie. On the way back, we stopped in Pentwater and visited them. We went to Chase Creek Smokehouse, visited with Pat and Linda, and then shot right over to Pentwater through the back roads.
Yeah.
And Scott entertained us on his boat, and then we went back to their cabin, and he made four gorgeous ribeyes, and we had just a wonderful pre-birthday celebration for Maureen with some beautiful steak. That
nice.
girl loves steak.
Yeah, well, she's with the right guy then.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Finally.
Right.
So campfire cooking, it's a bit of a trick, depending on where you're going to go, and I guess that's one of the things that's a good idea to have in your head as you're packing. And if you're camping, you got to bring everything with you,
mm-hmm.
you know. And my wife is a supreme list maker. So when we go camping, she keeps the lists on her computer, and she knows what to check off, and she'll print it off, and I'll stage all the stuff based on what we've decided we're going to bring with us. And when you're at those state campgrounds, first of all, Michigan state campgrounds are just supreme. I mean, supreme. We stayed the first night at a place called Muskalong, which is a lake about a half hour. It's probably only 12 miles from Grand Marais, but the road getting there is like the Alaskan Highway. I mean, you got to be ready. And we took her Lincoln up, which was a big mistake
yeah.
because we should have had the Jeep. That thing was a filthy mess when we got to the campsite, but again, a beautiful site right on Muskalong Lake and which is the real term for muskie. And it's just a fantastic campground run by the state. And we had this perfect setup right on the water, good neighbors, you know, not a lot of dogs or anything like that. And that's the night we just cooked sausages, and which was really easy because sometimes you're getting into the camp a little late, and we take an easy up Coleman tent, and it sets up in 60 seconds. If you're going to buy a tent and you're not going to put a stove in it, I would highly recommend spending $200 with Coleman. Get the easy up. It goes up so fast, it's ridiculous. And you'll never forget your poles, Joe.
Right, yeah, because they're part of it. Yeah, right.
Another story. But, you know, the other thing you've got to really plan on, when we got married, we actually did part of our honeymoon camping. We took our sailboat up to the Georgian Bay, and we camped and sailed up there, and it was wonderful. And in the process, I made this really cool wooden chest. The top comes off and folds out to a table. It was my wife still has great memories. I have great memories as well of eating off that little table, sitting, you know, in the in the grass, just chowing away. But you also have to be careful. Our vehicles are all smaller now, so you can't just take everything like back in the days we had a Suburban.
Right.
We loaded it. So, you know, choosing the right cookware and then making sure you have grates along with you, depending on the campfire you're going to be using. Because sometimes if you're in a rustic site, there's just a fire pit.
Right.
There's no grate. And in that case, I bring a tripod, which is just an easy way to put your steaks or whatever on it, a frying pan for breakfast, whatever you're going to do. We didn't bring our little gas
stove. So that's kind of hanging a grate over top of the fire.
Yep.
And so you're not cooking necessarily with the coals.
No, you are.
Okay, so you're going to let the
yes,
flames die down.
You do. You definitely want to. Or you can scrape some coals to one side and put it on the side and keep your fire ripping if you want. But typically, you're going to want to get a mature fire and then let it dwindle down a little bit. And then you can adjust your grate based on what you're cooking. But that's just a great idea. Sorry.
So what do you do with you're a big cast iron guy, right?
Funny you should say that.
Yeah, right. And there's this one piece of cast iron that if you're a new listener, you're the only person on earth that doesn't know this, because if you've ever listened to our show before, that there's a thing called a Dutch oven that Bob is in love with.
More than
his Lebanese wife, he's in love with his Dutch oven.
And it just so happens that you're now the proud owner of a gorgeous cast iron.
Guilt
Dutch
by association,
oven.
Buddy. That's all.
That was your Christmas present.
Right, I did
last
get
year.
One, and I have to admit, I've used it.
There you go.
And it works really, really well.
Well, and there again goes back to the camping equipment space thing.
Right.
That's something you can cook in that you can do about everything in.
Right.
So depending on the size gang you're cooking for will depend on which Dutch oven you bring.
Right. Well, I only have one, so that would be the one that I would bring. But that the versatility of that is huge.
It is.
Because you can use it as a fry pan if you just want to use the bottom. You can fill it up with liquid and stews. You got to cover it. You can bake in it. It's in the cover comes with it, thus the Dutch part. You can put heat on the top and the bottom, and you can really make some great desserts like that. It's a very versatile piece of equipment.
Yes.
And the cool part about cast is that you don't need soap to clean it up.
You definitely do not want to use soap.
Right. So you bring – I got one of those little wires. It's like stainless steel all wadded up in a ball or something.
Oh, yeah.
And you rub it – you know,
little
put the water in there and rub it with that, and everything comes out, and you just leave it. You don't ever want to put soap on these, as Bob said, because you're going to lose the oil in it, and then you're going to get rust.
Well, you'll also absorb that soap.
Right. Yeah, because
it's porous.
Right. The cast is porous. And we've had the people on from Lodge many times if you're a regular listener. But this is the time of year when cast is good, because when you're traveling like you are, you got one or two pans you can use for everything. And it's easy to clean. You bring a little paper towel, scrape out the chunky stuff, rub it down with paper towel, maybe a little vegetable oil if you got some, and bam, you're ready to go.
Definitely.
You're ready to go
Definitely oil it up when you're done. The thing about Lodge is they pre-season all there, so you can literally fire it up and throw your oil in it and cook.
Right.
It's that good. They also make one called a combo, which is cool. It's not quite as tall, but it's big around. So it's like a high-topped frying pan, and then it's got this cast iron lid, which also serves as a fry pan or a muffin tin or whatever you want to use it for. So in that case, one piece does, you know, really a lot of food.
Right.
And that's pretty cool. Now, my 12-quart actually comes with a tripod. So it's got its own tripod with a hook, and you can literally hang it over your fire. And that's kind of cool.
Yeah, you better have some stout sticks, though, because that thing, that 12-quart, weighs about 40 pounds.
Well, it's got its own tripod.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought you meant the chain, but the whole tripod.
No, it's got the whole extra tripod.
Yeah.
So putting a Dutch oven on a grate is never recommended by me because they're very heavy, and the grates can sometimes be a little slippery, and if you get a little off-centered, that baby might want to slide to the side, and she'll dump in a heartbeat.
Right.
And you got to have some mitts. Because handling really super hot stuff, and you can get some nice silicone mitts. You can go right down to Garrett's Appliance and grab those, and get some Weber starter cubes too, because starting the fire, we didn't get any rain when we were camping, but it's nice to have a dependable fire and not look like an
idiot.
See,
and I'm a big proponent of the welding gloves.
Yes.
The leather welding gloves that are insulated. Those that silicone, if you hold it any more than 10, 15 seconds, that heat's transferring. It's transferring right through there, and those big leather gloves are a little more protective.
Yes.
And that cast will be hot, guys. It will be super hot.
There's a welding supply company in Michigan with a bunch of outlets, and there's one in Ionia, and I stopped in there and got these all the way up to your elbow kinds.
Right. So if you're reaching in the fire.
They're wonderful.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
you know, that cast heats evenly. That's part of the reason why it cooks so well, either right on the heat or beside the heat.
Well,
right?
With the right Dutch oven, certain models have a ridge around the cap. You can actually put your coals right on top of it. So with the right Dutch oven, you'll have a ridge on top. You can put coals under it and a few on top and do a roast in about 2.5 hours.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about some of the equipment you might want to bring with you when you go on your camping trip. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan. 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fen Valley Vineyards.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance. While you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
I am a guy, and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We are in Grand Rapids at WFGR. A little bit of 80s, 90s, and now. Kind of just like Bob and I. You know what? 80s, 90s, and now.
Yeah, I start in the
50s. Yeah, right, yeah. I guess we did start a little earlier than that. But anyway, it's good to be back, and we appreciate you all tuning in. Thanks again to all of our wonderful sponsors. You'll hear their ads on our show here, but without them, we wouldn't have been able to come back. And we picked up a new one, our friends up at Chase Creek Smokehouse. I've been there a few times myself. You happen to be friends and like classmates of the proprietor.
That's right.
So what a great place if you've never been there.
And want to give a shout out to our producer here, Trevor Swanson's doing a great job. Our new man on the scene.
Right.
And we have to have that because we're just not studio guys. We're meant for live.
Yeah. The only big board I can ride is one with a pontoon underneath it. That's it, man.
You need a 50 horse on the back.
Yeah. Exactly.
Have you noticed, and anybody out there, hit us on Facebook, are you still hearing songbirds? My buddy put a Facebook message up the other day, and he said, the songbirds are already gone. And everybody's commenting, oh, no, don't say it.
Yeah, right.
But like this week it got into the 50s. And it's weird because I don't have any songbirds right now either. The hummingbirds are still around. But
yep.
Anyway, I'm not grilling hummingbirds. But, yeah, thanks for the welcome aboard to Chase Creek. It's a great place to try out awesome barbecue. It's a huge place right on US 10.
Well, let me tell you though, there's that trail
Snowmobile trail,
the RV trail, this time of year, it goes from Ludington over to the other side of the state. I don't know where it ends on the other side.
I think it's an ATV trail. Right. Don't bring your RV down.
Right. But, yeah, so my they're all recreational vehicles. But my point is it's a great stop on that trail because
that's
it's literally
it
right
there.
On the trail. And so it's a great destination wherever you pick up a trailhead to head there because there's plenty of ample watering and some really, really good food. Got a big old deck out there. I don't know if he's using that this time
oh, yeah.
of year. I think
oh,
he would
yeah.
be
yeah.
hugely rather than inside.
Yeah, but, we sat out there when we stopped to visit him last weekend on the way back. So camping. I know you're not big on camping, so I'll ask this question. Tent or RV?
Come on. You know that answer before you ask it. I don't lay on the ground. That's just not what I like to do, man. I've done it with you, right? I'd rather sleep in my car seat than I would on the ground. Just not comfortable.
How about if you had an air mattress?
Well, it'd have to be a thick one.
We do. We have, right. We have a big queen size, another Coleman piece, with a little blower on it.
Yeah.
And a charger will last you about three fills. Of course, all cars have 110 chargers now anyway,
right.
So you can charge it in between if you have to. With that and then a nice set of sheets and a big comforter, it's really pretty good sleeping.
Yeah, that's only two steps away from the hotel where I stay, right?
Okay.
I mean, I can come out to the lake and sit by the lake with you till it's dark. I'll just go home and I can sit by the fire with you after dark. But if I can go back and sleep in a bed, take a shower in the morning, come back, I'll bring you breakfast.
So you might be the kind of guy to get an RV then.
Right. I might be. Yeah.
Travel trailer.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't have one of those either. I've always just scratched my head. People really enjoy that.
Yes.
Right. And I've been to people's places. I've never owned one. I've been to people's places and I've had a great time when I've been up. But my thought was, is that you're going to spend $20,000 to $80,000 on that travel trailer and another $50,000 to $70,000 on a truck to pull it. That pays for a hell of a lot of hotel rooms, man.
Well, but look at like where we were last week. All these cool places, there were no hotels around.
Well,
nothing.
I mean,
nothing.
You're telling me Grand Marais has no hotels? Yeah, they do.
I found one room in the diviest place in town. She wanted $150.
Right.
I would never go there again because I said, wow, that's steep because your neighbors are all charging like $100. And she goes, but I have a room.
Right.
And I said, how about a military discount? She goes, I'll give you $5. And I said, you just lost me.
Right.
Military discount is worth $5 to you. I wouldn't stay in that room. I don't care what you charge.
Well, you ran into a unique proprietor, and he or she will remain nameless. But my point is just for me, no more than I do it, because I don't go away weeks and weeks and weeks. It's 10 times a year I'll get a hotel night. And,
so you might be inclined to maybe rent a little motorhome and take a tour
Lisa would
the
love
state.
To do that.
Yeah.
Lisa would love
That's
to do that.
That's why I'm saying you might be inclined.
Right, right.
You're going to be inclined.
Right, yes. Or I'll be declined. Yeah.
I'm going to promote it.
Right. But, yeah, I would do that, and I would enjoy it.
It's a ton of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my goal is to get one of these little Mercedes motorhomes.
Yeah.
Because I hope to retire in about 6-7 years. And when I do, I want to have that thing paid for. And it's got that 5-cylinder diesel in it.
Uh-huh.
And you can just go anywhere you want and get 20 miles a gallon.
Right.
Whereas my buddies have big pushers and they get 8 to 10.
Right.
And I just have a problem with that.
Well, and it all depends how many people you want with you and where you want to go and all of that other stuff,
That's
right?
That's not what they're thinking. They just want a big, bad fiberglass pusher.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, again, if I've got a buddy that's got one, happy to ride with them.
Oh, they're fun.
Right, yeah they're
I'm
a lot of fun.
Not against them at all.
Yeah, we're not going to have tailgate season this year, it looks like. That's a whole other subject, but
yeah.
That's when they're a ton of fun, is you pack 4, 5, 6 couples in one of those things and you got a bartender in the back, and when you get there, you fire the grills up and, you know, you tailgate.
So here's another way to do
right.
it. Get your little motorhome or get a little pop-up and then throw a couple kayaks on top. And Alan Bob sells a fishing kayak that
I have
in my sights.
Right.
I want a fishing kayak because we were kayaking and fishing around my brother-in-law's lake when I got those crappies. I was in his fishing boat, but you can, you know, certainly go out in a kayak and do it just as easily.
Right.
And I'll tell you, it's just so nice to be out there on a lake like that that's so quiet and just to cast away. There's a ton of bass in there.
Right.
And you can just have a ball and get some exercise.
And, you know, this is going to sound weird, but it's the cricket time of year right now, right? The crickets are full grown. You can go out and catch them. There is not a better bait on earth for crappie or bluegill than a live cricket on the end of the line, man. And you can find them. Where you were, out in the woods, I guarantee they were everywhere. Well, you just had to dig around and find them a little bit.
I put a crawler harness on and some big night crawlers, and they seem to really enjoy those.
Yeah. Yeah. They nip the end off them is all, but they do the same
Only
thing with the cricket
times.
Legs. Right, yeah, right, till they get to the hook, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
God, I haven't been fishing much this summer. I've been twice with Charlie, my buddy, and that's it. And we did well both times, but... just slips away. Here we are, the middle of August, and already
almost. Do you ever use leeches this time of year?
I have, not lately. Usually walleye fishing.
Right.
And when
early.
You're, yeah, earlier on in the northern lakes, up north of here from where we are anyway.
What I did, our wedding anniversary was just a couple days ago. We have birthdays and anniversaries like crazy right now. And I bought my wife for our anniversary present these really cool folding camp chairs.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you needed some?
Yeah, we did. And she kept saying she didn't want anything and trying to be careful during this lockdown not to spend too much. And I found these online. The site is called IRRPERB, Earperb.
Popular.
IRRPERB. These things are so cool. They're made in America.
America,
okay?
Baby.
They are.
Our
and
kind of stuff.
They have these little metal frames that you put together, very sturdy looking, and then this kind of bag chair that comes out and sits in these two crotches, and the thing actually has a little bit of a rocking effect, so you can tilt it back a little or you can sit up. It's the coolest chair I've ever seen for taking to either a tailgate, a ball game, over
campfire.
Your friend's campfire around their backyard if you want your own chair.
Sure.
Camping, anything like that. IRRPERB. I saw them on Facebook. They're running a bunch of ads on them. But they're made in America, and I'm going to tell you how much we like them maybe next week.
Cool. Well, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about some places are hearing this on Saturday. Others are going to hear it on Sunday. But the next time you hear my voice, I'll be a married man. So my best man, Barbecue Bob, is hosting my wedding in his backyard. And I just want to publicly say thank you. Lisa and I are very, very grateful. You've got a beautiful setting back there. And we are just so looking forward. We're going to have a little intimate affair with just like 14 people there. But Bob has agreed to sign the marriage license as a witness for me. So, we're really,
oh, you didn't tell me that part.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But, so we're going to be celebrating this weekend, that Lisa and I are going to be married on. And I chose, August 8th because even a dumb grilling guy like me can remember 8-8 because I ate a lot. Right. So we're going to make it happen. But anyway, looking forward to that. Thank you. We're going to have a great menu. Coming up next, we're going to trim my wedding brisket. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Today's man law is one of my favorites. There's no reason for a man to ever watch ice skating. Skates are for hockey, man law. And hockey is a great sport to watch because they all stand for the national anthem.
They do.
Yes.
Every one of them.
No kneeling.
And when
there.
It's done, they're whacked. They stick on the ice to make say, like, hail yeah. Because I'm marrying into, I'm not married yet, I'm marrying into a hockey family. and both of Lisa's boys played collegiate hockey, and one of them's actually his vocation is a professional hockey player. So I'm learning a lot more about hockey. It's kind of cool. So let's talk about this brisket.
I'm going to talk about trimming a brisket, but as far as your reception, I think you might want to talk to the people at Chase Creek because they have a beautiful outdoor venue up there, and I think we could do a barbecue reception for you. That would
that'd be cool.
Stellar. Right. And then you could camp.
Right. It'll be a little it'd probably be a smaller gathering. That's a little bit of a road trip to ask people to drive up there from Grand Rapids, but we're good.
Okay, so I'm doing briskets, butts, chicken for you and my neighbor James Roush, who's also getting married the same day, and I'm going to miss his wedding to host yours.
Well, I appreciate
that. Not holding that against you. That brisket is a tricky piece of meat, and you'll find some fat veins. You'll want to get a boning knife, get it nice and sharp, and flip that thing over every which way you can and carve as much fat out of it as you can without destroying it.
Right.
And then rub it with a little garlic EVO from Old World Olive Company and put, Billy Bones
Beef
Master Rub, championship rub, and I put it on the brisket, I put it on the butts, and for the chicken, I'll probably do some Slap Yo Mama.
Mm-hmm.
So you're gonna have some just fantastic meat. I wish you could all come to his wedding, but you can't.
Right? Yeah, it is gonna be good. You know, and since COVID hit, and we've been on this hiatus, I've done 4 or 5 briskets because I'm trying to get good at it. You're really good at it. That's why you're cooking, and I'm not. But
plus, you'll be in a tuxedo.
Well, Tennessee, maybe. Tuxedo, that'll be me. But the thing that's helped me the most is a temperature probe in that meat. And I can't – when it hits 200, baby, it's coming off. And I've been cooking just the flats and not the deckle and the point just because it's so hard for me to get that big, thick piece done without burning the little piece. So I've been just – doing the flats, and I think I'm getting pretty good at it now. But the next full packer brisket I do, I'm just a little concerned. Do you cut them in two and just cook it as two different roasts, or what do you do?
I typically cut the flat off the end of it and leave the point and the flat under it and the big half attached to each other. But a lot of competition guys are separating the deckle from the flat, cooking them separate, and then marrying them back up. You can do it any way you like it. I like to keep that layer of fat between the two when the big piece smokes, just because it's part of the presentation, and some people really like to eat that.
Yeah. So how do you keep the thin part from overcooking?
I cut the flat off of it. It'll get skinny, and then it'll climb up to a fat piece.
Right.
I just cut the skinny piece off the end and do it separately.
Okay. So it is a two-piece cook then.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Very good, because that's a big tip to make sure it tastes good when you're done. But we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. You've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Barbecue Bob and I appreciate you tuning in each and every week. We'll talk to you later.
See you.